And now grab your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we'll read verses 10 through 17 responsively. I'll read 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 10 out loud, and then you'll join me on verse number 11. We'll alternate like that all the way down to verse number 17. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, it's closer to Revelation than it is Genesis. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Beginning in verse number 10. Bible says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue in the things that which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And we'll pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you've done for us. We would ask that you'd be with those that aren't able to be with us this morning, that you'd touch their bodies, that you'd heal. But Lord, we are thankful for those that were able to make it today. Many have had a long week this week. They're facing financial difficulties. There's difficulties in family. There's health issues they're dealing with. There's many other issues that might be on the mind this morning. But if you would allow us to, please, this morning, be able to set those aside just for a few minutes. As we hear the Word of God being preached this morning to us, may we think about the words that have been written in the Bible, and may we think about the truth that's been prepared for us. Increase our faith today as we hear the Word of God being preached. We'd ask that you fill our pastor now with the Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. We'll ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them this morning. I want you to give me just a few minutes to lay a foundation, and then we'll jump into the truth of the day. I realize that we live in a day and age of starters, but very few finishers. People have the attention span of a gnat. Most people don't stay at anything long enough to finish it. Look at how many projects you have at home, or in your garage, or attic, or shed, that are unfinished. Ouch, I went from preaching to meddling in the first 2 minutes. We're 1 week into a new year, and I wonder how many people have already given up on what they resolved to do this year. Look how many drop out of college. Look how many hop from job to job. Look how many cannot or do not hold on to their marriage. Look how many bounce from church to church. People really don't stay with much these days. Now, I'm not criticizing you if you've had a divorce in your past. Those of you that know me know that. There's only two things you can't do if you've been divorced. That's pastor church or be a deacon. Past that, everything else is fine. But you got to realize at some point in time, time to hang on. You know, if you've been married 7 times, it's not everybody else's fault. There is a common denominator. Look in the mirror, all right? I hear this statement often. And if you'll listen to me, this sets the tone for the sermon today. Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do Christians face suffering? Well, God said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." God didn't say you might. He said you're gonna. Now, I hate to tell you something. The devil hates God. I know that's a shock. Did you know that if you are going God's way, that the devil hates you too? The devil is not going to bother that which does not bother him. You know, if Bob's got a stone in his shoe, it doesn't bother me. But it's going to bother him. When you cause pain to the devil, guess what? He's going to fight back. So, all of us are going to suffer. All of us are going to face opposition or persecution. God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14, the truth that I have for you today. But continue thou in all things which thou hast learned. Look at me. That word continue jumped off the page at me not long ago. And I said, that's it. That's it. We live in a generation that does not know how to continue. We live in an ADD society of boom, 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 boom. Like a BB in a steel room. We live in a generation that can't hold on to one thing, and they got to bounce from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And God says, in order to get through this persecution, to get through the suffering that you're going to face, you've got to continue. Please listen to someone that lives their life in the emergency rooms, in the cancer wards, in the funeral homes of life. There's only one way to make it, and that is to continue. To continue. You see, God tells us to continue in order to make it. God uses the word continue about a dozen times in the Bible. I looked it up. I looked up every place that it was mentioned. And I believe that word continue is one of those words that is a key word to the Christian life. I think if you had to narrow down the Christian life into one word, it would be the word obey. But probably a close second behind that would be continue. Continue to obey. You say, well, preacher, it's getting hard. Continue to obey. Well, preacher, my heart is broken. Continue to obey. Of course, many of you would know my wife's brother-in-law. Our brother-in-law is dying of pancreatic cancer, 56 years old. Flew down a couple weeks ago to spend a couple days with them and help them. And this morning, my sister-in-law texted me. She said, pray for Paul, it's not good today. And I said, Crystal, I'm sorry. I tried to help her a little bit. And she said, Craig, it's okay. All of us that are saved are going to be in heaven someday, and then all the pain and suffering is going to be over. I said, that's your hope. Just keep continuing that way. I said, Paul's going to feel better for too awful long. When he goes to heaven, he'll be all better. I live with that. I do. I live with the bad news. I live with the heartache and the pain. 2 years ago, just last month, my mom died and went to heaven. I stood here and preached her funeral. Mrs. Diener's husband passed away the same day. I was planning a funeral while they both passed away. I preached 3 funerals in 5 days on top of preaching Sunday church in between all that. I said, preacher, how did you make it? You continue. You continue. You've got to continue. And I want to talk to you today about that word, continue. First of all, God wants us to continue getting to know him. Can I tell you something? God did not make you to leave you here to figure out life on your own and eventually wander back to him occasionally. Those of you that have had children, once you hatched that puppy, you didn't leave it at the hospital and say, well, someday it'll come back and it can visit occasionally. And please don't leave it in the church nursery. I ain't taking them home. I did my 3 tours of duty. I'm not doing any more. Amen. The next ones that come to my house, I get to send back to their parents. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You didn't have a child just to give it away and not see it, but every so often. Well, when you get saved, God becomes your father and he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you just to visit one time a week or one time a month or one time a year. He wants to have a relationship with you. And God says that he wants us to continue getting to know him. My dad is 83, almost 84 years old. Do you know I still learn things about my dad? Can I tell you why? I talk to him every day. I talk to my dad every day of my life. He's in Florida for the winter. Say why? Because he hates cold weather. And he's spending months with my brother and his family down in Florida. That's fine. And I have no problem with that. But I still talk to my dad every day. You say why? Because I want to get to know him. I want to have a relationship with him. I don't want my dad's things. I want my dad. I want to learn from him. Seems like every day I talk to him, I learn something new about him. Some things I wished I didn't know. But I learn some things from him. I want you to notice what God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Can I tell you something? God's good even when the circumstances are not. God's good when the circumstances are not. May I say something? We're all sinners. You say, well, I've never sinned. There's your first one. You lied. Hate to disappoint you. We're all sinners. God didn't sin. We did. Why is it God's fault when the penalty of sin, which is death, or the process thereof, is placed on us? Why is it God's fault that we blame him? Well, I just don't understand why God allowed. God allowed it because you're a sinner and he had to allow it. There are consequences that go with being a sinner. Does everybody understand that? God doesn't take away all the consequences of sin. He can take the judgment of sin away by salvation. But just because you get saved doesn't mean all your problems go away. These people that get up and preach, well, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. Let me ask you a question. How'd that go for Jesus? They beat him and nailed him to a cross. Didn't turn out so good for him, did it? Everybody doing all right? He didn't sin. What chance do we have? Why is it that we want to blame God when something bad happens? Well, God could have prevented it. God could have, but he has chosen not to, because if he did it for one, he's got to do it for all. Everybody doing all right? Justice requires the same for everybody. Okay. God said that we're to continue in the things we learn about him. Did you know what you learned in Sunday school as a child is true today? If it was founded in the Word of God? Did you know that the Word of God does not change? People do. Now, I realize people are changing Bibles. That's the problem. But God's Word does not change. Stick with the old King James Bible. It's the same. It's the original. Don't you worry about it. It's the proven one for the English-speaking people. I could give you 6 hours of study on why. Not going to. Doesn't matter. Just trust me. But I will say this. You show me people who are obeying that book right there, I'll show you people that aren't as freaked out and messed up as people who are going against it. Turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Look at verse number 22. Acts chapter 14, verse number 22. The Bible says this: confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Notice how persecution and tribulation are mentioned here. But God says continue in the faith. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to run away from God when things get tough. We're to run to Him. We're not supposed to run away from what we believe because we're hurting. We're to run to Him, not from Him. Isn't it amazing? A child gets hurt. First thing they do is, Mom or Dad. How come it is that when a child of God gets hurt, we want to blame God for our hurt? Everybody doing okay? I'm preaching for God today. Can you tell? I'm not preaching as God. I'm preaching for Him. God says continue in the faith. What's the faith? The Word of God. Say, well, it's not working right now. You're looking at right now. You're not seeing the end product. If you're sick and you got to take that nasty cough syrup. When I was a kid, I used to get croup. My mom, the doctor would give my mom this cough syrup. I swear it came from the pit of hell. It was about as thick and gloppy of a concoction that you could ever get. And why they have to make medicine taste so bad, I don't know. But I think it's because they don't want you to take it very often, so they make it bad enough to where you don't want to take it again. And I'd start, I'm thinking, oh God, I got to take that nasty cough syrup. And she came at me with that spoon. I'm thinking, oh Lord. I remember one time I had it so bad, my grandmother gave me a plaster. Y'all, don't, if you don't know what that is, or a poultice. Okay, it was wintergreen. She had so much wintergreen oil on there, my chest blistered. She burnt my skin. I mean, I was dying. I mean, I had a blister that big on my chest. I was screaming, Grandma, you're going to kill me. And my dad lifted that thing up. And he said, Mom, I think you got it too strong. And she looked, she said, oh my. My grandma just about killed me with that thing. I was afraid to cough. I didn't cough around Grandma after that, man. I'd hold it. Say, why? She coming at me with that thing. I ain't doing that again. I can hold anything in for a while, amen. I'd go outside to cough when I was at Grandma's house. You laugh. I'm not kidding. Whew. God says we're to continue in the things we've learned. What are we to continue in? The faith. He said, well, preacher, I tried some things in the Bible and it didn't work this time. Continue. Continue. Sometimes it takes longer for it to work. There are some things that are, we live in an instant society. We want things to pray and be done. As I've said before, God's not the genie in the bottle. You pray one time and He has to obey you. There are some things that God says, and all things work together for good. It takes a while for things to work together. You might not see the progress today, and sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. If your appendix ruptures inside you today, things are going to get worse before they get better. You say, well, I'm hurting real bad. Yeah, and then they're going to put you under and give you surgery. And they're going to cut you and pull that thing out there and clean the infection out, and you're going to hurt in some ways worse than you did before, but eventually you'll get better. And the same is true in life. Sometimes you have to go through a worse thing to get better. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. If you won't amen it, I will. Amen. I know good preaching when I hear it, even though it's me. Colossians chapter 1, it's good truth. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse number 23. which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, neglecting of the body, not in honor. I'm in the wrong chapter here. I'm in chapter 2. It'd work better if I'd read the right verse. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which you have preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Can I tell you something? The gospel's true. It works. I think your dad and mom are working in junior church, but you were there, you and Sam both. Your grandma was going to heaven about a year ago. Those of you that knew Ann Garner, Ann was one of the sweetest ladies you ever met, but she could cut your throat in a heartbeat if she wanted to. She had Scott for a son. Trust me, she was tough. I remember, though, she was in hospice down the road, and she called for me. She was just a couple days from going to heaven. I walked in, and I said, Ann, what you need? She said, Preacher, are you sure? Being saved is all I need. I said, it's not whether I'm sure, it's what God said. I said, Ann, do you trust what God said? She said, I do. I said, then, before too long, you're going to be in heaven. And I said, I want you to do something for me. She said, what's that? I said, I want you to give my mama a hug when you get there for me. Then I want you to give Jesus a hug and ask him to keep blessing our church. Look around, God answered. And she said, that's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed to do. That's all you need to do, Ann. You're okay. A few weeks ago, I sat with Paul, my brother-in-law, and he said, Greg, I know I'm going to die. He said, but when you're facing death, you think about it. I said, I would hope so. He said, you sure? All I need to do is know for sure I'm saved. And I said, Paul, that's all you need to know. He said, I'm not perfect. I said, neither's the guy you're talking to. I said, if you were perfect, you wouldn't need to be saved. I said, but being saved is what gets you there. I said, now it's time to focus on eternity. You see, God says that hope of our faith. Can I tell you something? Not everybody is as strong in it. But if you've been saved, you're going to heaven. You see, we need to learn about our faith so we can continue in our faith. Please allow me to say this. That's why I believe people ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. See, why do you have so much church? Because God said in Hebrews that there ought to be more, not less. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as the day approaches. We need more of it, not less of it. I've been married for 33 and a half years. I don't need my wife less. I need her more. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. If I need my wife more, how much more do I need God? I know she needs him more because she's got me. Consider the source. May I say something? We ought to be faithful in doing and obeying God's word. We have a world in America, a generation in America, they think if they have the knowledge that they're okay. Knowledge alone won't help you. If you're not obeying the knowledge you do have, what good is it? I know people that think they have good financial sense. They know they need enough money to pay their bills, but they keep spending money that they don't have and wonder why they have financial troubles. There's only two ways to fix financial problems: increase the income or decrease the outgo. And the fastest way is to do both at once. Plain and simple. I don't care how much you understand about economics. You can have all the knowledge of economics you want, but if you're not doing it, your checkbook and your bank account's a mess. You're barely living paycheck to paycheck, juggling things, and I don't care how smart you think you are, you're not good financially if that's the way you live. Say, well, preacher, you offend me. I don't offend you. I'm just telling you the truth. You don't like it, lump it, but there it is. It's a fact. You say, preacher, you ought to be nicer than that. Okay, then be nicer, but I don't know how else to say it. It amazes me that just because we think we have knowledge, the average church in America today is a college lecture that nobody understands, and they walk out saying, I have some knowledge, but they don't do anything with it. James 1 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. God's not impressed with how much you know. He's impressed with how much you live. I want you to know more so you can do more, not just so you can know more. The average church is filled with Dead Sea Christians. All you do is get information in, and there's no outlet, and everything dies in the process. I don't know about you. I don't want to be the Dead Sea. I want to be the Mississippi River. I want to just keep on flowing. That's what God wants with us. It's to come flow through us, not just stay in our head. If you've ever met somebody so-called smart at a college level, you know, I've met, you know, Dr. Know-Everything. It amazes me how some people in their knowledge want to look down at everybody and tell you how much they know, but they don't even know how to do anything. Do you know that Einstein is supposedly one of the smartest people that have ever walked the face of the earth? Well, he sure didn't know what a comb was. Have you ever seen pictures of him? He was afraid that if he combed his hair, it would pull on his brain and it would hurt his mental capacity. So he never used a comb. That shows you how stupid he is. Your hair's not connected to your brain. You know, he wasn't smart enough to be able to find his way home. He had to have somebody walk him to and from where he was to get him home everywhere he went. Now, he was very brilliant in some ways, but he was dumb as a puppy in another way. You see, just because you have the ability to spew out facts doesn't mean that you know a whole lot. The old country preachers used to say this, I'd rather have you say I seen than I have seen if you seen something. Them old preachers seen something. They saw the power of God. Well, they didn't have good grammar. I understand good grammar. I really do. I have a minor in college in English grammar. I like playing with words. Now, wait a minute. I understand it, but I also understand there's times people don't need me talking over their head. As my preacher taught me, let's put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf where everybody can get to it. Amen? Now, hang on. God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be continuing in what we know. What are we to know? The faith, the word of God. Next, God wants us to continue in his word. I don't have time to take us to all these, but turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. You say, preacher, that's the Old Testament. Yeah, it's the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 2. Look at verse number 4. First Kings chapter 2, verse number 4. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if the children take heed to their way and walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Notice God says, if we continue in his word. God was talking to the kings of Israel here, and he said, look, as long as you continue obeying my word, I will not fail the kings of Israel. So we're to continue in his word. We're not going to take time to turn there, but 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 14, it says that we are to continue in following the Lord. Turn to, back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We were in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy comes before 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 16. I love this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. God says we're to continue in the doctrine of this book. May I say something? This is not a cliche answer to me. America needs the Word of God. We need to follow the principles of the Word of God. One of our newer families, they got saved about a year, year and a half ago. And they have said this to me on more than one occasion. I used to hear people say, well, the answer is the Bible. But the more we get in the Bible, the more we realize the answer is the Bible. And that is a true statement. What does America need? A good old dose of the Bible. The farther we run from it, the worse our problems get. Well, separation of church and state. There's a difference between church and state and God and state. Constitution doesn't say that you can't have God involved. It just says that the government's not telling the church what to do, and the church isn't supposed to tell the government what to do. Everybody doing all right? Okay. God not only knows what's best, but he knows how we should do it. I met a theological guru one day, Dr. Fatbottom. He said, well, the Bible is a divine message, but it does not have divine methods. And I looked him square in the face. I said, you only say that because you're too lazy to get up and obey it. He said, well, Reverend, what do you mean? I said, first of all, don't call me Reverend. Call me brother. Call me preacher, but don't call me Reverend. I said, the reason you say that is because you don't want to go door to door, house to house, knocking on doors, telling folks about Jesus Christ. Well, it's not a divine, that was for a different dispensation. I said, no. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God didn't change his mind. I said, he didn't say, sit in your office drinking coffee and writing lectures about the Word of God to show everybody what God didn't even say. I said, your problem is you don't want to obey the Word of God, and you get mad at those of us who do obey the Word of God. And according to Scripture, God called you a Pharisee. Our conversation ended quickly. But I was right. God not only gave us the message, but he also gave us the method. God said, by the foolishness of preaching, he saved some. Well, it's kind of foolish to go to church, spend all that time, and shouldn't give you money, and you could use that money for other things. Well, I don't know about you. I'd rather invest my things in eternal things, not temporary things. Everybody doing all right? I'm not telling you to give more money. What I'm telling you is this. When we start doing it God's way, it's amazing what could be done. We didn't shut down during COVID. I didn't take anybody's temperature. Now, I won't criticize anybody. But what I'm saying is this, I didn't have to shut down. We had a little episode of it go through the church. So for 2 weeks, we stood in that doorway and preached while everybody parked in the cars out here, had speakers and could get it on AM radio. And still had visitors to church. Glory to God. Had return visitors. That's when Paula came. I knew there was something wrong. I mean, now wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Isn't it amazing how many churches shut down and aren't reopening because of it? And they're going to use the excuse, well, we just can't get people to come back. Well, if you'd have stayed open during it, they wouldn't have left. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Everybody believing the government right now is freaked out and weirded out. I hate to disappoint you. I had COVID. I haven't smelled or tasted anything in 26 months. Thank you, Chinese people. Honestly, guess what? I'm still alive. I'm sorry people got sick. I'm sorry people die. But can I tell you something? People have been getting sick and dying for about 6,000 years. It is a wage of sin. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm not saying being foolish. I'm just saying this. More people died of the flu than died of COVID. More people died of alcohol than died of COVID. Everybody doing okay? And I'm not talking about the moonshine that some of y'all have, but that too. Right, Miss Loretta? Anyway, God wants us to continue in his word. By the way, that's why we ought to obey it, not rewrite it. You got too many people wanting to rewrite the Bible so it's easier to understand. Can I ask you a question? Don't you think God's smart enough to write things to where we can understand it? Then why do we need to rewrite it? You see, you have people taking words away from the Word of God, putting things in there that are not in there. Those are man's words, not God's words. I think we ought to read our Bible every day. I'm not telling you you have to read through it in a year. I think sometime in your life you ought to read through the Bible in a year. Great. I read through it many times a year. But what I'm saying is this, just read it every day. So, well, I don't understand it all. I've been preaching for 42 and a half years and I don't understand it all. And if I preach for another 42 and a half years, I still won't understand it all. It is a living word of God. It's as applicable now as it was before the foundation of the world. And I think we ought to be in Sunday school to learn the Word of God. I think we ought to be in church to learn the Word of God so we can continue in it. It's amazing how many people think they know the Bible, but they've never read it. I sat on an airplane one day going somewhere to preach, and the guy said, "What you reading?" I said, "The Bible." He said, that's a fake book. I said, "Have you ever read it?" "Nah, I got better things." I said, "How can you tell me it's fake if you never read it?" Began to tell me something about his business, and I gave him an answer. He said, "Man, where'd you learn that?" I said, "The Bible." I'd gotten him to agree with me. Isn't it amazing? It's a fake book, though. Bunch of fairy tales, people say. Well, only people that say that are people that don't want to listen to God. Number three, God wants us to continue in love. Look at John chapter 15. Now, I'm fixing to preach here. Hang on. It's been nice. It only lasts so long. John chapter 15. Look at verse number 9. John chapter 15, verse number 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." That's Jesus talking. And he says, "As the Father loved me, I have loved you. Continue in my love." That means this. We're to learn to love like God loves, not the way we want to love. Psalm 36:10 says that we are to love with the love of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. If you don't get there, just look at whatever page you're on. Nobody will know. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1, because I'm going to read it as soon as I get there, because I've got to hurry. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1 says this. "Let brotherly love continue." Can I tell you something? God wants his people to love. Too many people give up because they want to be loved. They don't want to love. May I teach you the greatest truth? Love is satisfied in giving, not getting. If you give and say, well, I didn't get anything back, therefore I won't give, then you lusted, you did not love. True love gives without expecting anything in return. Well, I did something for somebody and they didn't do it when I was down, so they don't love me. Well, maybe they don't love you the way you love, but they still may love. But if you did it to get something back later, guess what? You didn't love them either. That's how you can love your enemy. That's how you can love people that hate you. I can love somebody that hates my guts. Say, how do you do that, preacher? That's hard. No, yeah, love is satisfied in giving, not in getting. Those of you that gave during Christmas had an enjoyment. Those of you that didn't get what you wanted have a miserable life. So, preacher, did you get everything you wanted? Yep, because I don't want anything. I really don't. I really don't want anything. You see, God loves us in spite of our sin. Why do we give up on people who sin? I'm ready for my monthly tirade. I am sick up to here of churches that bring people up on a platform somewhere and expect them to tell you all the wrong that they've done. That's wicked as a stinking devil. Number one, you can't forgive anybody of their sin. Only God can. Second of all, for you to be able to even help them, then you're going to have to trot up here and tell everybody all the bad you've done, and I don't think you want to do that. See, all you want to be is a gossip and listen to all the wrong somebody else did so you can talk bad about them. You'll be glad when it's your family. You see, God says that we're to continue in loving kindness. Psalm 36:10. Continue in loving kindness. Not just love, but loving kindness. Did you know you're supposed to love people with kindness? Now, sometimes love means you got to correct. I get that. But when's the last time God came down and beat the snot out of you? Sometimes it would be easier. May we not lose the brotherly love, the brotherly kindness, the kindness of God. Now, Jesus wasn't afraid to look at the wrongdoers and say, you bunch of whited sepulchers, you bunch of serpents. But those were people that were fighting the truth and trying to keep him from giving the truth. But by the way, he died at Calvary for them too. I've used this statement a lot in the last 6 weeks. You got to hit a mule harder than you hit a puppy. Every once in a while, somebody that's like that, you got to smack them a little harder than the average person that's willing to listen. Everybody doing okay? So if you're going to act like a mule, you're going to get whacked a little harder. Mm-hmm. Amen, preacher. Amen. We're to continue loving. By the way, well, how can I love somebody that's doing wrong? You can love them without condoning the wrong they do. I love people regularly who do wrong. You. Me. We continually do wrong. Just because they do wrong that bothers you, you don't want to love them. May I say something? That's childish. If you went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, isn't it amazing? At the end of the chapter, God says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'll love you if you love me. That's childish. It's amazing how many adult child-like people are running around in our world today. They don't know how to be an adult in love without expecting to be loved back. If you do something in order for your spouse to do something back, you did not love them. We love, God says you love me because I first loved you. Man would not naturally love God without God loving first. Because we're sinners. Maybe if you would learn to love your spouse without expecting anything in return, then anything you get back would be wonderful. You say, "Preacher, I have a hard time loving. My marriage isn't what it should be. Come see me. Let me help you. That's what I'm here for." How about we continue loving with God's love and not our own love? I was walking in the woods praying yesterday. Tears were running down my face. And I said, "God, I love our church. I love our people. But I don't want to love them with my love." I said, "Would you give me your love to love them? It's so much better than my own." I thought of people in this room with problems, and I said, "God, would you give me what you would give them if you were here? Not what I think they need, but would you give me what you would give them?" You know what my life is? It's running to God and getting from Him what you need and coming back here and giving it to you. It's not me sitting in my office dreaming up things to say to make you miserable. And contrary to common belief, I don't go to your house and read your mail and listen to your conversations. I spend time with Him. And He gives me what to give you so that you can continue. Next, and I'll hurry. We'll not turn to all these verses together. But next, God says we're to continue in the gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 5. We are to continue in the gospel. Can I tell you something? That means we're not supposed to change it. Do you know people don't get to heaven by their righteousness? They get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. You don't get to heaven by joining a church. You don't get to heaven by being baptized. You don't get to heaven by your good works. Hopefully the good outweighs the bad. Too late. You're a sinner. It's too heavy on your side. The only way to get to heaven by good works or by His righteousness added to your account, and that balances the scale. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us are good enough to get there on our own. You could join this church and join every church in town and still die and go to hell. You can get baptized in every baptistry, every way, in every creek, every pond, every river, till you know every tadpole by name, and still die and go to hell. All baptism is just like that wedding ring. If I take that wedding ring off, am I still married? Yes or no? Yes, I am. People know I'm married because I wear it. That's all baptism is. It is a picture. A symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And by the way, you don't get buried by people doing this or this. You get buried by... I'm not mad. I'm not making fun of anybody. But that's what the word baptize, baptizo means. It means to bury. Look it up. So, well, I got baptized as a baby. No, you got wet. You don't get baptized until after you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I can wear a ring on my third finger of my left hand all I want, but until I got married, it's not a wedding ring. That one came in the nose. Anyway. She's in the nursery. She won't see it till Ashley tells her. You see, God says that we're to continue in the gospel. That means this, not only continue believing it, but we're also to continue getting it out. Yes. Tell somebody else about how to go to heaven. Say, "Well, preacher, I don't know what to say." Pick up some gospel tracts on your way out, hand it to somebody and say, "This will show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven." Read it to them. It has everything on there you need to know. and that they need to know. It's not real hard. Everybody doing all right? We ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I say something? I'm not ashamed of the gospel and give it anywhere. The biggest need in our world today is the truth of the gospel. Number next, we need to continue in the grace of God. Acts chapter 13, verse 43. God says, continue in the grace of God. When we take God's grace away, there's no hope. We wonder why this world is so hopeless, because we've taken grace away and made it works. When grace is taken away, the only hope you have is our fellow man. And may I say something, we make a pretty lousy God. As a matter of fact, Job said, miserable comforters are you all. People really don't know how to comfort much. They think they're being comforting to you. And I say this regularly. When somebody's going through a bad time, the worst thing to do is say, how are you? May I help you? That is a dumb question. When somebody loses a loved one, for you to go up to them and say, how are you? How do you think they are? They're hurting, dummy. I'm sorry, stupid. I'm sorry, idiot. You don't need to ask them how they're doing. How about instead of saying that, say, what do you need? How can I help you? I texted my brother-in-law this morning and said, hey, bud, what do you need? I didn't ask him how he was. He's dying. I know how he is. When I talked to my sister-in-law this morning, I said, Crystal, what do you need? How can I help you? I didn't say, how are you? I know how she is. She's watching the love of her life die. It's painful. Maybe we need to learn to do things with the grace of God, but when we rely on what we know, guess what? We're in trouble. How about we, you know what the key root word to gracious is? Grace. Maybe we need to learn to be gracious with people, full of grace. So much I want to say. Second Corinthians 12:9. My strength, my weakness is made perfect in strength. My grace is sufficient for thee. I thought old brother Roloff this morning. I can hear him now. When sin-stricken, burdened, and weary, from bondage I'd long to be free. There came to my heart this sweet message, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, my grace is sufficient for thee. In shady green pastures or on that rough sea, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, we couldn't sing just like I can't sing, but God's grace was sufficient. Amen. Lastly, God says, continue in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer. Can I tell you something? When you think you've talked to God and talked it out and you're not getting anywhere, keep praying. Just keep praying. We need to walk with Him as we walk with our friend. I talk out loud to God. I spend more words, more time talking to God than any human in this world, including my wife. I'm not perfect. I'm not a great man of God. I got a long way to go, but may I say something? I'm not afraid to talk to Him. I'll be in the store talking and I'm by myself. Somebody say, you talking to me? Nope, talking to God. They look at you like you got a third eye right in the middle of your forehead. Don't stop praying because you don't get what you want. How about we learn to ask God what He wants and wait for the understanding as it all takes place? God's not the genie in the bottle, and you rub the bottle and you tell Him what you want and He gives you everything that you ask for. You say, well, I had a loved one, preacher, and they were dying, and God didn't answer my prayer to spare their life. How come God wanted my loved one to die? He didn't. Do you know that death is foreign to man? Do you know why there's a struggle at the end of our life? Because God made our body to live forever. Our body is doing what it was naturally made to do, and that is this, to live. But sin brings death, not God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Don't blame God for your loved one's death. Blame the stinking devil where it belongs. Blame sin. Quit blaming God. Well, God took them too early. God didn't take them. Sin did. By the way, at what point in time is it okay for someone to die? If that's the case. Well, when I'm ready. Oh, so you want to play God. That's what the problem is. God didn't want you to die. God made you to live forever. So God loved you so much, He did something for man that He did not do for anybody else. He came and sent Jesus Christ for us, who lived a sinless life, born of a virgin, shed His blood at Calvary and died as our sacrifice and resurrected as our high priest and put His blood on the mercy seat in heaven so that you and I could have salvation. He did not do that for the devil and his angels. They committed the same sin before man did. Well, why would God send somebody to hell? He won't. Matthew chapter 17 says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Not for man. When man sinned, God said hell hath enlarged itself because man chose the same punishment as the devil did because he listened to the devil, not God. But God loved us so much that He gave us Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved you enough to not want you to die. Don't blame Him for death. He wants to give you eternal life so that you can, watch this, continue forever. God wants you to continue. God wants us to continue in some things, and we talked about those things today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm done.